I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the program, the Lower Brule Sioux of South Dakota want you to come visit. But what you'll do when you get there might come as a surprise. And read a book. The author of that controversial public service ad making the rounds on the internet pays us a visit. That's all coming up. But first, America is talking about what it takes to be a leader. Is the country ready to let an African American try the top job? Does a woman have what it takes? These questions are being asked at the national level, but in many cities, they are asked and answered. Last Tuesday, Sheila Dixon won the Democratic primary in the race for mayor of Baltimore, all but guaranteeing a win this November. She is the first African-American woman to lead the city, the country's 18th largest. This is from her victory speech.
Regardless of what religion you practice, which race you are, whether you live uptown or downtown, whether you have lots of money or none, I am your humble servant and will work tirelessly on your behalf.
But Mayor Dixon also will be governing the city along with three other African-American women who have been selected to hold Baltimore's top elected positions. Mayor Dixon is with us now from member station WYPR in Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate this.
Now, after Tuesday's primary, it seems that if all goes according to expected in the general election, the four most prominent elected positions in Baltimore will be held by African-American women. There's you, there's a city council president, the city's comptroller, the city state's attorney. There are also several more council members. What do you think that means?
I think what it says is that, one, the nation is changing the landscape of who is in public office. And two, it says that people in Baltimore in particular have seen what we've been able to do in our respective positions, you know, me as city council president and others, in having confidence in being able to lead the city to the next level.
Does it make it easier for you in some way? Do you feel a sense of affinity with these other leaders that you perhaps you might not have with people from a different background?
We've all worked together in some respect over the last several years or so since we've been in the various positions that we've been in. And I think we have a good sense of what our philosophies are. Now it's a matter of taking to another level and really having an opportunity to make a major impact.
But people
and that's
have,
what I'm looking forward to.
But people have this idea that, and you know, maybe it's a fantasy that, you know, male leaders kind of get together on the golf course and do stuff like that. Is there something that you all do, you
know, well,
make
well,
the conversation we smooth?
Well, we do a number of things. We don't get together and go to the spa or and maybe we can start an exercise program where we work out together because I'm an avid athlete and I believe that my colleagues also want to join in and work out together. I guess sometimes on the Board of Estimates, Stephanie, myself, and Joan, we talk about fashion. You know, women love to shop. We never lose sight of that. But also on real serious issues. So, I mean, I think it's going to all evolve. This is really the beginning of a new chapter. And I guess we'll determine what direction we go in and what how the relationship blossoms and develops.
You've been serving as interim mayor owing to the fact that the previous mayor, Martin O'Malley, was elected governor. Do you think now that, and you've, as you mentioned, you still have to go through the general election in November, but, you know, 80% of the voters in Baltimore are Democrats, so let's assume that unless something very interesting happens, you are, for all intents and purposes, the mayor now. Is there something you think you'll be able to do that you have not been able to do as interim mayor?
I carried over a number of department heads and other people because I needed to keep that momentum and stability moving ahead. But now I can really put together my team, people that have the same energy that I do, the kind of drive, the kind of commitment, where they see and philosophy and are going to buy into my philosophy and how I feel we need to move forward. And instead of now waiting and seeing who's going to be the mayor to determine how much they put forward.
As I understand it, you started your career as a kindergarten teacher, and you've been an adult education instructor. What made you want to go into politics?
In the process of teaching school, I found myself getting very frustrated with the system. Having young people in the kindergarten who are reading on the second, third grade level and wanting to move them into, or not necessarily skip a class because socialization is always key and it's a balance, but be able to let them go into a first grade or second grade class for their academic ability to strengthen them so that they wouldn't be bored. And it was very challenging to pursue that. And I guess having that experience and looking at the administration and what the teacher in the classroom would go through and trying to put everything that you can into it, it really kind of said to me, and I also worked on Kwesi Mfume's campaign, Kirk Smoke's campaign, a number of different people's campaigns. And so it was kind of through both processes that I said, you know, if I want to make a change, let me step out and try to make a change policy and laws to impact children in schools.
Did you have trouble being taken seriously at first? You're kind of petite. And, you know, I just wondered when you first got into the business, was it like, okay, little girl, sit down?
Well, I did experience that. And actually, I had a colleague. He's in heaven right now. Mimi DiPietro used to call me that all the time.
Really?
I was at that time the youngest woman elected in the council at that time, but he used to call me that literally, little girl. It also was predominantly controlled by white males. So women were in the minority and African Americans in a city that was predominantly African American. So it was through that experience, learning city government, getting out, working hard in my district, and proving myself that I was capable of being successful and understanding. And that's where I think people began to respect me, because I studied so that I could learn and understand as much as possible so that people would know that I was very serious about this job. But yeah, I did experience that.
If you're just joining us, this is Michelle Martin at Tell Me More, and we're speaking with Baltimore Mayor Sheila Dixon. You talked about having to prove yourself, and one of the big challenges for you and other big city mayors right now is crime. As I understand it, you've had more than 200 murders in Baltimore so far this year, and that's actually an increase in the rate from this time last year. Why do you think the number of murders in the city is going up? And it's not just in Baltimore, Philadelphia,
Newark.
No,
it's across the country.
Not every city. I mean, you know, New York is not experiencing this. But why do you think in
cities? Actually, New York has a rise in murders and in most violent crime. And actually, when I took office, and I think it was back in March, I presented a new plan, getting away from total zero tolerance.
For people who aren't aware of that term, zero tolerance policing is a strategy that's become known, I think, particularly in New York during the Giuliani era, and it means enforcing all the laws vigorously, you know, jaywalking, quality of life crimes, and so forth.
Correct.
People say that this is the reason that New York has experienced the dramatic drop in crime that it has over the past decade, but you're moving away from that. Why?
Well, actually, in a meeting with Bloomberg on Monday or Tuesday when I go to New York, but no, it's a balance. It's a balance of the quality of life crimes in neighborhoods, and it's also a balance of going after your most violent offenders, because they're the ones who are committing the most serious crimes, the murders in the city.
Just based on the numbers, though, would it appear that your strategy is productive?
You have to understand, I came in during a time where violent crime was increasing across this country. And so what we're seeing as a result of this plan that we're putting in place, small but consistent results. The second piece of this plan is community engagement. Where you have strong communities and people are involved, if it's citizens on patrol, if it's reporting incidents to the police, you know, every aspect of citizens, of community involvement is key. So it's two-pronged. Our police department have to go back out into the communities to gain trust back, because that's where information is gained for police when there are incidents that happen. The other piece is illegal guns. It's a big issue across this country. I'm a part of a team of mayors across the country through the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Bloomberg is a lead in that, with trying to change legislation at the federal level to give local police departments the tools in order to provide the background checks. So we created an illegal gun task force. Because the third piece for Baltimore, which is key, is partnerships in the court system.
What do you mean partnerships? I mean, political structure there.
We've had a strained relationship. We had a strained relationship between the prior mayor and the state's attorney's office, the difference of opinion. We had issues with the mayor and the governor. Parole and probation is run by the state. The court system is state. The jails are run by the state. So there are different levels that if you don't have strong partnerships with states. So what we've done is in our legal gun task force, we now have state troopers who are part of that. We have parole and probation who are working with the police department, going after warrants and arrests for individuals who are on parole, because we're finding that they're the ones who are committing the crimes over and over. And so those partnerships are strengthened. We have a great relationship, which we hadn't had in the past, with the federal prosecutors. Project Exile, where we have illegal guns, they're now enforcing them at the federal level. There's some things we need to do at the state in strengthening our gun laws. We have a gun registry that's patterned after New York. So, but our partnerships have been weak. You have the police arresting, but you don't have prosecution being, and then the court system. We've got to send to our most violent offenders that this is unacceptable and that we're not going to just slap you on your hand and let you out. And that's what's been going on.
Some people have this idea that women leaders have an extra burden to prove they're tough, to send a message to the evildoers, as it were, that they are not to be messed with. Do you feel any pressure of that sort?
Well, you know, it's funny you said that, because people always have accused me of being too tough during the mayoral election, and the polls said I wasn't tough enough. So, you know, there's a balance. And I think that you need that sensitivity. But my attitude is, we've got a job to do. We can't play the games that we've been playing. And that's at every level of government. Everybody has to step up. Sure, you're constantly proving yourself, but, you know, I don't focus on proving myself. I focus on, here are the challenges, what are the solutions, how can we resolve it?
Sheila Dixon is the mayor of Baltimore. She joined us from WYPR in Baltimore. Mayor Dixon, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity.